Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, good morning, everybody. Welcome to As a Kid Radio Show. We are back again this week with a very interesting topic. I'm excited to be in the studio with you all again and just to see what comes out of this week. For those of you that have been tuning in and paying attention, today is the day that we give away the ticket to the Billionaire Thoughts Sales and Leadership Conference. And, you know, for my listeners that are going to be on live, let me just explain something to you. If you didn't hear it last week, you're going to hear it this week. And if you did hear it last week, I'm reiterating it again. This is something that you do not want to miss out on, free ticket or no ticket. You know, you get out of things what you put into things. And when it comes to our lives and it comes to our success, we've got to start putting more into it. You know, what you put in your body, you're going to get it. You put fried foods, you're going to get high cholesterol. You put sugar, you're going to get diabetes. You put in plenty of fruits and vegetables and water, you're going to have a healthy, supple skin, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, what about the mental, professional, you know, things that we need put into our lives so that we can make investments? You know, the people that are coming to this conference, John C. Maxwell, Jeffrey Gittimer, Eric Thomas, Shalette Wallace, these are heavy hitters in the industry for living very successful lives across the board, success in their marriages with their children, success in their businesses, just success across the board. So, like I said, I'll give the number again later, but if you're curious just to even know what this is, go to www.billionairethoughts.com. Again, that's www.billionairethoughts.com, or you can call in at 866-384-2175. Again, that number is 866-384-2175. And you know what? Even if you feel like you don't need this ticket for yourself, there's someone that you know that is trying to make a change in their life, especially from a business perspective, and you know what? Call in and get the ticket so you can give it to them. So I will be announcing some way, midway or toward the end of the show when you can chime in and get this ticket because it's going to be a very awesome thing. Okay, so moving forward, I don't know about everybody, but I had an awesome week. I really, really did. And a lot of things happened. I have a testimony that I cannot give now. I have to wait to give the full testimony once it's over, but I will put a little info out there. My Facebook friends and my family, they already know this. My husband and I are making a major move. We're relocating, and we're about to start a new adventure business-wise, the whole nine, taking my business to another level or family to another level. So what's been developing since we've made this decision is awesome. God is moving very expediently. He's not pulling back any punches, and he's really putting us in a place where we're getting blessed, and he's opening doors, and people are doing things for us, and I'm just very excited at watching him. Well, one of the things that I realized is that I really feel loved, okay? I feel loved because there are a lot of people who have come out to serve me in these times and circumstances, whether it's helping me to move things, pack items, just to be there to keep me company because we did a really big movie sale, which was phenomenal. You know, they're just doing all different kinds of things, and they don't want anything for them. And I just had to have a moment and sit back and reflect. There was a time when people couldn't have done that for me. You know, I would have been, you know, getting ready to move, whether it was because of bad or good circumstances, it didn't matter. But I just remember August, and August was like this ultra super strong woman. I could pay my own bills. I could make my own money. I could take care of my own kids. I could lift that heavy object. I can get this out of the way. You know, I don't care what it was. I could do it. And when I reflect, I can think about some times when people would be like, hey, I can help you with this, and I would be like, no, I got it. It would always have to be when I tried everything and hit rock bottom that I would go ahead and take some help. So So that got me to really thinking about, well, what does that say about me as a person when I don't let other people serve me? So today, what I plan on talking about is how Christians, hey, if this is not you, don't take it personal, but I wanted to look at how Christians have a lopsided view of serving. What do I mean by that? Well, most of us, when we look at our lives and we say, hey, you know, we are saved and we love God, and, you know, I'm not saying that we do things to prove that we love God and we're Christians. I mean, but think about it. A lot of us value our lives as a Christian and believe that it's validated by how much we serve. You'll hear people say, okay, well, I work on the food pantry. I feed the homeless. I go visit people in nursing homes. I'm a part of Big Brothers, Big Sisters program. I teach in the school. I work with, in the church. I work with the youth ministry. You know, somebody needs a place to stay. I took them in. And we'll talk about these things. And we not saying that we're trying to take the glory for them, and not saying that we're saying, I did more things than you did. But a lot of us validate our walk based on what we do. I mean, think about it. Am I tripping? Because that's what I see. Because think about it. The first thing that we do as well, when we look at other believers, a lot of times we evaluate them based off of what they're doing and not doing. You know, such and such been in the church for so many years, and she don't never do this, and she don't never do that, and she's never here, and we always want her help and support, and, you know, Mr. So-and-so, he doesn't do this, you know, he's driving his car, but he ain't picking nobody up. I mean, we look at people, and we look at what they do, and then we say whether or not they're fulfilling the role of Christ. And, I mean, let's think about it. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, because it says in the scriptures, you know, Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to be served, I came first. And so what do? We know we're supposed to be like Jesus. So then we want to be like Jesus and we want to serve. The scriptures also say that if you want to be a master, then you're going to be a slave to people. You know, so the scriptures do teach us that the epitome of our walk is in serving and not being served. But that's only half the story. Because if you're always serving, then that means somebody has to receive the service. If everybody only always serves, then, if it's truly just better to give than to receive, then the story's half full if there's always only giving and no receiving. And so I'm saying that the story is half full if you're always giving and never receiving. Let's think about this. I'm gonna bring some scriptures in a second. You know, but bear with me. I hope I communicate this clearly. I'm gonna say it first, and I'm gonna try to give an example second. When you give and you give and you give, but you always got it, and don't nobody hardly ever have to give to you, that actually shows a deficit in you being like Christ. That actually shows that you are probably fearful, that you are probably full of pride. Okay, and why do I say that? Because think about this. When you're in a situation, with the move, I have had multiple people come, help me pack, help me move things, help me do all kinds of stuff. Like I said a long time ago, I would have got all my stuff together. I would have packed it myself. I might have called a few people that I knew, but then I would have made sure that, you know, I was telling them how much I had to pay them. No, you're going to take this money. You're going to do this, this, that, and the other. And I would never let them just do it for free. And you know why that was? That was a spirit of fear. But what I mean by fear? It was because I never wanted you to be able to say you did anything for me, and I didn't appreciate it, I didn't value it, I didn't pay you for it. No, you ain't doing nothing for me for free, so don't get your box off talking about what you did for August, because I paid you for doing that. That is the spirit of fear. The other thing is that sometimes I've been in a place where I've been like, okay, you know what, I got myself in this mess. I'm going to get myself out of it. I ain't telling nobody. Don't nobody got to know. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get it out myself. That's fine. Because you're trying to do everything yourself. Well, guess what? To the degree that you are able to receive, it's actually a mirror image of the degree to which you're willing to give. Because what ends up happening is you only let people do so much without rewarding them so that they can't say, "Hi, I did," but then you also only give so much because you don't want to feel like somebody took advantage of you or used you. And I know that I'm not making this up. I know that I could not be the only person who thinks or has thought this way. How there have been times when you've been like, "Yeah, well, you know, sister says she's going to do so-and-so for me, but I ain't going to even let her do that because, you know what, I don't even have time. You know, she get her rocks off every time she helps somebody, and she be trying to get her little brownie points. Well, I ain't going to be her charity case. I can do this myself." So we just have this tendency where, like I said, there's this rock part of you in the kingdom where we believe that because we're doing all this giving and we're doing all this serving, that we're proving that we're fulfilling God's task, but that actually is, like I said, it's only half of the story, and it's not in line with the scripture. When you go and take a look at John chapter 13, there's this part. I'm not going to read it, but in John chapter 13, between verses 5 through 9, my seasoned Christians, you know this scripture. Bottom line is right, you know, at the time before Passover, and Jesus is sitting down with the disciples, and he pulls out the water, and he starts washing the disciples' feet. And just put it, your image there, you know, for my people that are not saved or haven't read it. At the end of the day, just picture yourself as someone's feet, rubbing their feet, wiping their feet, washing their feet. You know, people say there's a special call of people that decide that they want to be, that they want to do pedicures. But seriously, I mean, when you think about it, you say feet, I don't want to touch anybody's feet. You know, but back then, that was a very humble thing. It was a very welcoming thing. It was very pure. So when Jesus got to Peter and he was ready to wash his feet, he was like, "Wait a minute, Master, you going to wash my feet?" "No, I don't think so." And Jesus said to him, "If I can't wash your feet, then I can't have nothing to do with you. You don't even understand what I'm doing." And then Peter said, "Oh, well, if that's the case, can you wash my feet and my head?" So here it is. Now, let's get the visual image in our head. Who was Jesus? Jesus was this phenomenal man who they believed came to reign on earth as king. They saw him heal the sick, raise the dead, go head-to-head with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, do all kinds of phenomenal things. So he was someone that was greatly looked up to. And everybody had served him. He, you know, the one woman, she washed his feet with her tears, oiled them with her the last of her oil. People did things for Jesus, and that was expected. But what was not expected was for Jesus to do things like that for the disciples. So here's the question that I have for you out there. Have you gotten into a place in your walk where you've gotten so high that you believe that you're supposed to serve and you're supposed to do all of these things for people, but now that you're in a place that you being where you are, you got it all together. And you don't need anybody to help you, and you don't need anybody to do anything for you. Because Jesus did it both ways. He let people serve him, and he served. Being like Jesus means you're going to serve people, and you're going to let people serve you. Because, in essence, when you don't let your brother or sister serve you, you're denying them the right to act like Christ. You cannot always be the one that's doing the serving because you're preventing and you're stunning someone else's growth for them to be able to be the one to get out there and for them to serve. And you know what? Some people are babies in the faith. They're going to serve you, and they're going to put a notch on their castle, and they're going to say that they did this, that, and the other for sister such and such and brother so-and-so. Their motivation, it may be completely wrong, but who cares? The bottom line is did God send someone to you that can serve you or not? Are you allowing them the opportunity to serve you or not? How many times has somebody come to you and said, "I want to do this for you. I want to help you out. I believe you deserve this. I saw this and it made me think of you. And then you sat back and you analyzed that thing. And because somebody else was putting more stake than you were like, nah, I can't have that. What was Jesus putting at stake? He was putting himself in the lowest position. And Peter, in his mind, was sitting there saying, because of his status, that he shouldn't do that. But in Peter's mind, he should have been saying, okay, regardless of position, anybody should be able to serve. So wrap your mind around it. The Bible doesn't say only serve. The Bible says, what, in Galatians 6 and 2, it says, bear ye one another's burden. It doesn't say, August, you bear the burdens of the week. August, you bear the burdens of this people, these people, because August doesn't have it all together. There are things that I am very, very good at, and there are things that I'm very not so good at. I'm weak in certain areas, and I need help. So what I can do, I do do. But what I can't do, I need somebody else in my life who's going to pick up the slack and that's going to help me out. Matter of fact, I want to read one particular passage of Scripture. It's actually in 1 Peter. Because, here's my challenge while we're going to the Scripture. It's going to be 1 Peter chapter 4. If you look and Google Scriptures that have to do with serving or go to your concordance, you know, whatever it is that you do, you're going to find a common theme in the Bible. And it doesn't say, let you serve, let you serve, let you serve. It continuously says, serve one another. Serve one another. Not you always do the service. Let somebody else get their little spotlight, I guess, so to speak. Let them shine and let them do something for you. So let's get to me and my polar pages. We're going through some things. I'm almost there. 1 Peter chapter 4. We go to 1 Peter chapter 4, every verse is 10. You know what? I'm so far. It might be actually be 2 Peter because I think that. Okay. You guys are going to have to bear with me. Every once in a while I have a little moment. And I may have put this scripture in here wrong. Nope, that is it. It says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as the ability of God with God given. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what happens when you receive, whatever you receive, this gift of grace, this ability that comes through God, what happens when you minister it one to another is you glorify and you edify God. So God is only getting half of the picture if you always the one who has the money to give. You know, let me detour just a little bit. Still on the same thing, but on another tangent. You have to sit back and you have to reflect and you have to talk to God if you always end up having too many pity parties or you end up feeling too weary or you have too many conversations about what you've done for people and what ain't nobody done for you. I mean, think about it. I ain't saying you can't have them sometimes, because Lord knows I just tried to help an 18-year-old out who didn't appreciate it worth a darn. But you know what? She only got about 48 hours of my life, really about 36. And then it was like, okay, you know what? Because I know I did what I was supposed to do, I gave that girl an opportunity of a lifetime. Hopefully those seeds got planted in or water. God will have to be the one to give the increase. But when you sometimes got to sit back and you talk to your girlfriend, your spouse, whoever it is, you know, your sister in Christ, and you be like, you know what, I just don't know what it is. People must take me for a pump. Because every time I turn around, somebody bought something out their hand out, and you know what, I had paid such and such and such as rent. When such and such was crying, I let them call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, when somebody needed someplace to stay, I let them rest their head here. When such and such needed a car, I just gave it away to them. When such and such needed their car note done, I did this. And when they needed a babysitter, I let their kids stay for free. But you know what is so funny? It's like, don't nobody know what I'm over here going through. And ain't nobody help me. And I be needing help with this. And I be needing stop. How did you even get to that place where you're at? How did you get to the place where you're always doing something for somebody and nobody's ever doing nothing for you? Well, I can't say that it's a one-size-fits-all, but I can tell you from August's own personal life, it got there because I was like that. It got there because I was like that. I'm strong. I got this. Yeah, brother, you getting out of jail, you need somewhere to stay, I got you. Sister, you need somewhere to live, yeah, I got you. You need anything, no, I don't. There's plenty of times I could have asked somebody for some money or some help, but I felt all good because I ain't have to ask nobody to buy my baby no pampers, and I paid my own bills. It don't make no difference if I had to work 16 or literally 20 hours straight braiding hair. I was going to make my own money. I was going to make it happen. I worked myself like a dog. And I was paid, and I had things, but what ended up happening is people began to look at me as like, okay, well, August is a superwoman. She got it going on. She don't even know her. She the one that everybody goes to for help. So then when I would get down and out, or I would get sad, and then I would have to cry, and I would be like, why is nobody here helping me? Then I would be like, oh, well, that's the image that I put out there. I put this image out there like I was the one that was all big and bad, and that I would be the only one that would do the serving, so nobody could serve me. But I could have sworn the scripture that I just read, it says whatever gift that you receive, that you're supposed to minister the same one to another. So I was doing all the giving, but I wasn't letting anybody give anything to me. So that made me end up becoming a very hard woman. And I'm here to say that even though I'm not as hard as I used to be, over this past year, God still had to continue to show me me. I'm going to tell you, one way that God brought me and let me see it, I hope this testimony gets somebody. Okay, so here it is, me and my husband, we decided we're going to have a baby. And I'm pregnant, and my thing is now, I'm humble. I ain't real picky. I'm not saying that everything I buy got to be cheap or from the Goodwill or nothing like that, but at the same time, I ain't too good for it either, man. It's a lot of treasure, though. I didn't know what I was going to have to do in order for us to have everything that we needed for the baby. You know, I was thinking about the downtime when I wouldn't be braiding as much, plus my clientele had just been reduced, all kinds of things going on. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go in a nice resale shop, get a real good baby bed, some things I know that at the end of the day, resale shopping not is better to buy brand new. I will have a baby shower, but I was just trying to calculate everything, figure everything out. I was being superwoman August. So tendencies were still there. And I was like, okay, let me try to take off the slack because my husband already doing this, doing that. And the guy dealt with me. And I was like, wow. He revealed to me not to buy anything until after the baby shower. And that was hard because, I mean, not from the point of being prideful, but, I mean, hey, we prayed and even had a baby. This was my third child, but it was the first one with the love of my life. I'm excited. So, but God put a firm hand down. He's like, nope. When he revealed that to me, I stepped back. He's like, you don't buy anything until after the baby shower. Well, there's this young woman in my life, awesome woman of God. I didn't really know that much about her. I mean, I could tell by the way that she carried herself and handled herself since she was a client of mine, the way she budgeted her money for her and her daughter to get their hair done. It was obvious that she had some money, but how much money she had, I don't know. But she came to me and she said, hey, do you already have a baby bed for the baby? I said, no. I said, I did kind of look around or whatever. I said, but, you know, I'll play it by ear. We'll see how it goes. And she said, I want to buy the baby bed for you. I was like, seriously? She's like, yeah. She said, now, this is what I want you to do. Look at your calendar and let's set a date so we can go baby bed shopping. We put the calendar, put the date down. She said, August, do me a favor. She said, go on the Internet and find the bed you want. Do not look at the price. Look at the band you want. She said, because you know what? I look at you, and you're always doing things for people. You will, you know, instead of eating a steak, you'll get a bucket of chicken just so that somebody else that's hungry can have some chicken with you. She said, you know what? God wants to move you to a new season in your life where you can be able to have the desires of your heart. There's nothing wrong with you being humble and doing those things, she said, but God has told me to tell you to get what you want and don't look at that price tag. And I had to struggle with that, y'all. So I'm on the internet and I'm at, you know, Babies R Us and I'm at Burlington. You know, I'm going on both ends of the spectrum. And the baby bed that I really wanted for my daughter was at Toys R Us, and I'm looking at the price, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is like a when did baby beds start costing $500? People, help me out. Because I got an 18-year-old, you know what I'm saying? So my boy, and even with the about-to-be 9-year-old, please tell me you're feeling me. 10, 20 years has made a big difference. I ain't had a baby in a while. I'm like, gee, $500 for the bed. It just was perfect. There were other ones now. I didn't pick the most expensive one. I saw them for $300, but then I also saw them for $7. But I was like, okay, well, I'm going to see where she wants to go first before, you know, if she makes a suggestion, because I don't want to just say that I want this $500 bed. Well, we end up, she comes to pick me up, and she said, well, did you have a place you wanted to go to in particular? I said, well, I looked at a couple of places. I don't really know where we should go first. She said, you know what, if you don't mind, why don't we go to Babies R Us first? The bed that I wanted was at Babies R Us. So God was like, girl, you better say what this woman told you to do. We got there, saw the bed, and it was $100 off. They were having a sale. So, you know, that made me feel good. I told her, I said, this is the bed that I really like. So we sat down. We were doing the purchase and making sure that we got everything. But this bed also converts into a full-size bed. So I was asking them about the rails and when I could order them, because the rails were converted, that was like another $200-some-odd. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't have the money then, but I was going to order them later because why not get the full money's worth out of this bed? She said, you know what, we don't have time to take any chances. She said, because sometimes things get discontinued, et cetera, et cetera. We're ordering those bed rails now. She said, add that on the tax. So this woman, when you added the taxes and everything to it, spent almost $700 on me. And that was like one of my breaking points. Where, I mean, I like literally had to cry because I'm like, God, how many other blessings have I missed out on like this? Because back in the day, I would have been like, you know what you want to do for me, that is so sweet. I can't let you do that. I'm sorry. You know, I just can't. It's a good idea, and I appreciate it, but we got this under control, and that's just, I mean, come on now. You may even have to sit back and take some time to reflect, but how many times has somebody came to you and wanted to do something phenomenal for you, and whether you were afraid they had ulterior motives, whether you just were in fear that they were going to use it against you because they helped you out and you didn't want anybody to know you were vulnerable, how many times did you not let somebody help you? Because I'm going to tell you something. With all the plotting, planning, and strategizing and the money that me and my husband made, I'm sorry, we couldn't afford it that baby did. And I watched God from that point forward give me everything that my heart desired. And by the time the baby shower was over, whatever I didn't get, I mean, I had so much money from people that did financial donations that whatever I didn't get, I spent money to go get those things with all of the gift cards. And my baby came into this world with everything that she needed. But this time it wasn't because I decided that I would have her muscle. You know, I had that same experience with my oldest daughter as far as her getting everything, and I mean literally everything that I needed. But it was different. I was 19 and I was young. Your family throw you a baby shower. They show much love and they do that. I'm talking about being grown when you have the ability to make a decision and you don't let people do stuff because it's like that's okay. People, let's be more vulnerable, because I'm going to tell you what ends up happening is you give somebody else the freedom that you believe that you have and that good feeling when you allow them to serve you. You know, if you're in a situation, you know, where you're tired and you're weak and somebody's trying to cook for you or come clean your house for you, well, quit trying to be superwoman and do everything yourself and let them do that. instead of sitting there, well, I don't want somebody in my house, and I don't want to see them what I'm looking like, and they might go say something, and, you know, this ain't exactly, well, you know what, well, then fine. I tell you what, then you wear yourself out, and you be tired as a dog, and you go ahead and kill yourself and be to the capacity that you can't even do what you would normally want to do, because you won't sit your tail down and let somebody else serve you. I'm going to tell you, I mean, something very basic. That's just like my mother-in-law. She's like, okay, I'm coming to pick up Jay today. She's like, do you want me to take me over with her too? Did you ask? Look, my comment, I said, oh, I ain't going to never turn it down. I'll just be waiting for the offer. Take her. I'm over the desk. She in good hands. I know what she wants. I don't care what it is. I've had so much going on. I've been moving stuff for an entire weekend. I've been packing up the house. Get out the way so the realtor can bring people to view that. I need a break. You think I'm not going to take my break? I'm trying, I gave that example because it's so small. You know, the baby going with the grandma. I mean, but still, I mean, for real, you all know some people that you can't get, you can't even give them the smallest thing without them always having an excuse or a reason why they don't need you to do it. So my thing is, people, let's stop having a lopsided view of what serving looks like. Serving does not look like you always doing the giving and never receiving. That's an inadequate teaching. Jesus didn't just come and show us serving so that we can say, I will know how to be like Jesus if I serve. No, Jesus came and served so that he can show us that anybody can serve, and that the problem wasn't with Jesus serving. Remember in that scripture, the problem was with Peter not wanting to receive the service. So Jesus came and served so he could show you that you better not have a problem receiving it. Because when you basically, if I'm like Christ and I come to serve you and you want to accept my service, then take that scripture and then what did Jesus say? I can't have anything to do with you. When you don't let someone serve, what you're saying is, Jesus, don't serve me. Because that's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 11. When you do that, you're giving God the glory. You don't get any glory from someone serving you or from you serving them. God gets the glory. What does the scripture say? The scripture says that they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you show one to another, not by allowing Sister So-and-so to be the Mother Teresa and do everything. So I don't know how everybody feels about what I said. I don't know how it got your brain thinking of what you're doing. But it doesn't matter how high or low you are, you need to let someone serve you. I'll give you a good example. Moses. Look at Moses. Come on now. This man was older in his age, seasoned. He had lived a long life. He had lived in wealth, and he had also lived in humility. He was the one who, through the power of God, escorted all of the Israelites out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, the whole nine. But when you go into Exodus, when you look at, what is it? I believe it's chapter 17, there was a time when they were going to be at war. The Israelites are going to be at war. Amalek and them came and attacked them. And Moses told Joshua, get some men, go out there and fight. I'm going to stand at the top of the hill and I'm going to hold up my staff. And the scripture says that as long as he held that staff up in the air, that the Israelites would win. Matter of fact, you know what? Let's go. Let's just go to that. Because some things I don't even like to paraphrase. It just sounds good the way God has it written down on the paper. Let's go to Exodus chapter 17. Matter of fact, Exodus chapter 17 and verse 10, so that we can read this and see what it says, and then let me go and finish painting this picture about serving / being served. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 10, it says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. and Aaron and her stayed up his hand, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Okay. So are you big at that? You've been in ministry for a long time. God did a lot of miraculous things with you. You seasoned. You done a lot of things. God has called you to do great things that right just by walking in faith and holding the staff or whatever it is that he's told you to do, miraculous things happen and other people get delivered, because that's what Moses was doing. Moses was performing an act of God, and he was doing what God wanted him to do, and it was delivering a bunch of other people. Is that how God works for you? You all don't seem to find yourself ministering to situations of people and things, and miraculous stuff is happening with them, and they're getting delivered? Has that made you develop a complex, though? And is that all you ever see of yourself? You being the person that's able to deliver. You being the person that's able to help. Because the last time I checked, that man did not do it alone. Someone had to serve him. Somebody had to give him a seat, and somebody had to hold his arms up. If you always doing, and you don't need any help, then you know what? Eventually your hand is going to go down, and you're not going to be able to prevail, and then the people will begin to die because you want to do it all yourself. If Moses said, no, I'm tired, but I got this, eventually he would have fainted, and he would have violated the scriptures in Galatians 6 and 9 when it said, don't grow weary in well-doing. He would have not just grown weary in his spirit, he would have grown weary in his physical. And I know a lot of us have grown weary in our spirit and in our physical. Why? Because we're doing. And we don't understand we have a long ranger complex. As a matter of fact, I call it a savior complex. Because every time you turn around and you're doing ministry or you're doing anything, it's always you by yourself. Well, then there's something wrong with the picture. Because you won't let somebody first. So what if you got a ministry and somebody wants to help you and you don't think that they may be the most reliable person in the world? Then you regulate what you give them to do. You coach them. You lead them. You guide them. You help them. Because part of being a leader is bringing out the best in other people. So if they have deficiencies, you don't kick them to the wayside. You pull them in and you nurture them and you grow them. You teach them how to help you. You know, but you don't sit there and you don't try to do it on your own. Moses, once again, you go to the very next chapter when after everything was over with and he was trying to lead the people, regulate their situations. They come and asking him a gazillion and one questions and so on and so forth. Then what ended up happening? His father-in-law looked and said, oh, my God, what in the world is he doing? He came in, he said, Moses, we got to talk. He's like, what you doing? You can't do that. You're going to wear away, and the people going to wear away too. I got a plan. This is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it. By the grace of God, Moses listened to him, and things functioned a lot more properly. So the first example, there was physical service. The second example, there was mental, verbal service. You know, how often are you rejecting the words that other people want to bring to you? Because, yeah, he was an older man and he was his father-in-law. I mean, but if he wanted to, Moses could have been like, when the last time you led a bunch of people out of slavery? When the last time you didn't hit a rock and made water come out because people were thirsty? When the last time you been to the mountaintop and seen Jesus, seen God himself and stood in his glory, the other people couldn't even do that? He could have had a big head. And even if he didn't come with that nasty of an attitude, people, look, you still... whether your attitude is nasty or nice with it, when you have credentials to lay on the table about what you've done, you put yourself on a pedestal. He could have been like, hey, father-in-law, I know you want to try to help me, but I got this under control. You know, God is really with me. He's had me lead the people out of Egypt. You know, I've done all the hell, part of the Red Sea. God is with me. He's really leading me, and he's guiding me. So, you know, with everything that you're saying, you know, I know you probably have good intentions, but I got a relationship with the Father, and I got this under control. You don't have to tell me anything. Even if you say it nice, they don't tell me it was wrong. And we got to get to the point where we got to understand that just because we sound good, we got a sweet spirit, or we are nice people, that doesn't still mean that what we're saying, that it is not an error. It can still very much be an error. But the bottom line is, when Moses with his head going on self, he still needed to be ministered to, like the scriptures that we read in Peter. He needed someone to minister to him. He needed someone to help him bear the burden. And who got the glory in the end? God did. So let's just get off our high horse. Let's look for opportunities to let people serve us instead of looking for opportunities for us to do the serving. Let's allow people to do what they do and know that they're doing it because that's what they want to do. And if they have a slip-up moment and it ends up turning into something else, you know what, then that's just what it is. People lied on Jesus. They mocked Jesus. They did all kinds of things. Nobody cares. But the church has got to stop being lopsided and stop doing. You know, I'm going to repeat what I said this earlier in the beginning of the show. When you have a lopsided view of Christianity and when you only give and you don't receive, you actually have less of ability to give than you think. Your capacity to give is not as high as you think it is. I mean, think about it. If you've ever loaned somebody $100 and they ain't giving your money back, then that'll put some kind of fear in your heart. Well, if you know that somebody that once did you a favor and loaned you $100 and then it got out that they loaned you the money, then you got fear about receiving it, then it's got some kind of craziness, it's got some kind of fear in your heart. I don't care which way you look at the story going back and forth. If you allow, when you allow circumstances to evaluate ministry, then it clouds your judgment and the ability to allow God to move through you and through people. I can give you a prime example of my own life. I've given things to people, and I had this saying back in the day, I'll give more than I can afford to lose. So if you need $400 and I need $150 to pay a bill, I may give you the $250. But I'm not giving you the $400 because I need my $150. And I used to say, well, it ain't that I don't trust people. I don't trust circumstances because you might die tomorrow and I won't get my money back. I had all kind of clever ways. Yeah, I know I'm extremely analytical, so I can put a thought together. I had all kind of clever ways of why I would and wouldn't do certain things for people. And it was because I didn't want to get burned. You know, I didn't want it to be any kind of situation because I've been burned before. But now that I'm in a different place in my walk, and this is something that actually happened years ago, I mean, like, literally, like, three, I had a situation where my husband and I were able to be involved with this man. Him and his wife had separated, and in order to get him back on his feet so that he would be able to live decently, it cost us about a good $700. No, we used this, but we didn't give him the money. You know, we were like, give us the bill. You know, we'll go pay them for you. You got to also, and all this giving now, there is some wisdom in there. Don't think I'm not saying that. You know, but we took his bills and we went and paid him. We gave him his receipt so that he can call the utility companies and stuff like that. We went and bought groceries, got some other people on board with us that bought toiletries, did all kinds of things and helped this guy out. And in the end, he basically dogged his wife, did all kinds of stuff wrong. But do you know, if we saw that individual today, that we literally could look at him and say hi, that there's no bitterness or anything in our hearts because we know that we did what God wanted us to do. If it was based off of what we wanted to do, then we would be sitting there saying, man, we could have used that $700 and bought a new flat screen, or we could have kept that money and put it in the bank, or we could have given it to somebody else who would have appreciated it more. We didn't even have those kind of conversations because we know that it was an opportunity to minister. We know that God did something for that individual, and in the back of their mind, a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, whatever it is, they will have to look not at what the Crenshaws did to them, but say, man, look at how God came through for me. I needed this, and then it's going to happen. It always happens. Even if it's on your deathbed, we have these reflective moments. And then he'll have to look and see what he did to God. He may think about us. He may not. But he will definitely have to look at what he did with a situation where God was trying to bless him, and he basically cursed it. But see, in retrospect, I was able to give $700 to somebody else without batting an eye, and I was able to receive a baby bed for $700 without batting an eye. Well, a little bit of batting. Let me keep my testimony 100% true. But the bottom line is my ability to give ended up being able to be equated with my ability to receive. So because there's no ulterior motives, because there was nothing in our heart, we were able to extend out and receive in. If you're always giving, that means that your subconscious mind is saying that you always got to be on top, and that means the situation is about you. It is not about God. It's not about what he can do and what he's doing for people. We've got to get past us. Because if God didn't put you in a situation where you were able to do something for somebody like that, well, then praise the Lord. Because I know as much money as I made back in the day, back in the early 2000s, please, I made more than that in a weekend. But I wasn't in no position to give nobody no money like that. So God has definitely brought me in my life and my husband's life to another area where we're able to do something like that. So as usual, I know I give a lot of my own testimonies and a lot of information, you know, about myself. I'm hoping that what I put out there, that it struck a nerve and that it meant something. You know, but I'm just hoping that you realize that the giving and the receiving is the same thing. Because if everybody's giving and doing a giving, nobody's receiving. Let somebody serve you this week. Let them serve you today. Let them serve you tomorrow, next week, throughout the year. Start letting some of this pressure off of yourself, because what you're doing is you're letting God minister to you. If you're waiting, if you're always thinking that don't nobody understand you and the only way you're going to get blessed is when God does something himself, you miss the picture. You're like the analogy of the man that was stuck on the rooftop when it was a flood. And when the boat came by, he didn't get in. And I think another boat came by, he didn't get in. A helicopter came, he didn't get in. He ended up sitting out there and dying. And when he got to heaven, he said, God, why you didn't come and help me? He said, I sent you help 3 times. The fulfillment of the scriptures come when people see, they see Christ by our love for one another. And if you always waiting and you always seeing God doing something phenomenal to get you out of a situation, then you done lost the whole thing. It comes by us ministering one to another. So I don't know if there are any questions or comments in reference to anything that I said, but you know I'm always willing to do so. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and say for the record, we are getting closer to the end. There's a ticket out here. There's a ticket out here for the Billionaire Thought Seminar. This is a $279 ticket. Now, we're talking about learning how to serve and to be served. Trust me, this is some of the stuff that is probably going to be spoken about, because John C. Maxwell, one of the speakers there, was a powerful minister of God and does some phenomenal things in churches. We're not just talking about people that only know vision. These are people that are going to be at this Billionaire Thought Seminar. They know Jesus. There's some advice out there. If you don't need this ticket, but you know somebody does, you need to get it and you need to be there. If your calendar is free on May the 9th from 9 a.m. to 6 a.m., or you know someone's calendar is free and you know that they can utilize this thing, then I'm telling you, push one on your phone now, because whoever you are, you're going to end up being the one to get the ticket. Don't pass up something like this. Like I said, if you don't need it, you know somebody that does. But the Billionaire Thought Seminar is phenomenal. It is an opportunity to grow. So you may not have a question or comment in reference to today's topic, but if you want this ticket or you know someone that you can give this ticket to, then, because I got some callers on the line, and I do know somebody I can just give this ticket to, but I do want to give people an opportunity to get it. So if you want it, push one on your phone. Even if you want to make a question or comment, that's also still the ability to push one, but I just want to put that announcement out there. So I don't see anybody chiming in, and that's fine. Oh, here we go. Somebody wants it, or they got a question or a comment. Hello, caller?
Hello?
Okay, there we go. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Yes. Do you want the ticket?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I know who you are. I got you. I'm taking your number down. I'm going to make sure that I call you after the show to get all of your information.
Okay.
Now, I got you down for the ticket. Did you have anything to say in reference to the show, or are you cool?
Oh, the show was really good. I appreciate the comments and the things you said, and something I guess I needed to hear. So I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, we always wait and let God do whatever he's going to do with it. But I got you down for the ticket. So for those of you all that are listening, the ticket is gone, but you still can go. The Billionaire Thoughts Conference is on May the 9th from 9 to 6. If you don't know what it is, you can go to www.billionairethoughts.com. Check it out. The telephone number, you can also call is 866-384-2175. So that you can get information about it. But moving forward, like I said, I hope the word blessed everybody. And we'll just see what God does in our lives. Go out there and don't only serve, let's get served. So I'll pray us out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding. We don't want to just know some of the word, God. We want to know all of the word and everything that it is that you have for us. Continue to help us grow and to see things, not just from the same old perspective, God, but allow us to see a fresh word, God, a fresh word that you're giving, not our made-up word, not our own interpretations, but let us just see the revelation of the word for what it is. You have said that people will know our love for you and know that we're your disciples by the way we show love to one another. So let us not be lopsided. Let us love one another. Let's love and let's give love. So I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk to you all next week. Mm-hmm.